You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies go out and drop two over the weekend. We will talk about the games that happened over the weekend. We will talk about the game that is happening tonight. We have a Monday mailbag edition with a couple questions in the middle segment of our show, and a different interview. But over the last week, I had the opportunity to sit down with all the Grizz Gaming guys and talk to them individually one-on-one, which was pretty cool. So we'll actually, starting today through probably next week, we're going to have interviews, just kind of my one-on-one interviews with all the Grizz Gaming players, and Lang Whitaker, the Grizz Gaming general manager. So that'll be pretty cool. That's something different. Again, I really enjoy the esports and gaming. So that, you know, that's just kind of something I like to cover. So I was able to talk to those guys. We'll probably talk some more about it. I mean, for everybody that doesn't really understand it, or maybe doesn't understand how it works, that's in there. That's in Lang's interview. So we kind of get into some a little bit of how things are going, like working second season wise, stuff like that. So first today will be Universal Phenom. He is a guy that was on the team last year. So the way it works is they actually had a draft last year. They drafted six guys last year, and then this year they were able to protect. Basically, they were to keep two players, and they basically had another draft this year. So they kept Universal Phenom and Authentic African. Those are their gamer tags, and from what I have been told, that's what they prefer to go by. So that's what we're going to use. Those two guys are the two players that they decided to keep, and they drafted four more players. However, they were to draft one of the guys that was on the team last year, so they actually have three new players and three returning players. So those two guys, Universal Phenom was one of the guys they kept last year. They were able to talk about just a lot of different stuff, and we talked about their favorite games and some places they like to eat in Memphis, and just kind of, you know, conversation just about everything, kind of a more of a meet the player type interview. So that'll be in the last segment. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. But let's start where most of you probably are tuning in for. That is the games of the past weekend. Was I think the Grizzlies go out and lose to the Magic on Friday, 123-119 in overtime. And then they lose to the Timberwolves on Saturday, 112-99 on Saturday. I think the game over the weekend, on Friday, was more important, or more, I guess, have more to talk about than the game on Saturday. The game on Saturday, man, it looks like they just hit a wall. You know, they got super tired during that stretch where in the third, fourth quarter, they couldn't score the ball. I mean, they couldn't do anything. You have someone like Karl Anthony Towns, and who is extremely, extremely good at basketball. And, you know, it's difficult whenever you're tired from an overtime game the night before. I mean, you know, Karl Anthony Towns putting up 33 points, 20 rebounds. I mean, you know, technically 23, but like, it's just tough. And so I think that game on Saturday was more about the Timberwolves than it was about the Grizzlies. I mean, the Grizzlies just looked like they hit a wall again. It was very, very difficult for them to score the basketball. The only people that really did anything was Mike Conley and Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas with 20 and 14, Mike Conley with 23 points and 3 assists. So just, I mean, not a great game for really anybody, although the coaching staff played every player they could have imaginable. Every player they had available, they played. Joakim Noah came back and played in, I think he left again in the second quarter. I think it was the second quarter he played. He had some knee soreness that he went out of the game with on Friday night. So he is doubtful for the game tonight against the Thunder. But yeah, the game against the Magic was like the most, I think would be more glaring Just because you had a chance to win, this game. And this game was more about the coaching and what you drew up at the end. Like, you know, at the end of the game, you put the ball in Tyler Dorsey's hands. I get Tyler Dorsey was having a good game. Tyler Dorsey had a career night, 29 points, 9 assists. Jonas Valanciunas had a hell of a night, 23 points, 24 rebounds. I believe that's the franchise record for defensive rebounds of 23 defensive rebounds is the franchise record for Valanciunas. So literally that guy's been here for a month and already setting records. But this game was more about was more disappointing than the game against the Timberwolves, just because you had every opportunity to win this game. You know, Tyler Dorsey gets fouled at the end of the game on a 3-point shot, misses two free throws. They go down and make, believe, two. I think it's 123-119 at that point. I think is the final score. But the Grizzlies still have a chance to even have a shot at a basket after that, and just gets. I mean, again, you put the ball in Tyler Dorsey's hands. He misses a shot. I mean, just I get it. I mean, I understand that Tyler Dorsey's having a game, but I just don't think that's the play. I mean, I think you do something for – I don't know. I mean, I guess they just ride with a hot hand. But and again, there's just not a whole lot of players. You know, I mean, I guess the only person you could have seen maybe making a play would be DeLon Wright. You know, you put the ball in DeLon Wright's hands and see what happens instead of Tyler Dorsey. Maybe Justin Holiday. You run something, run an action to get Justin Holiday an open three in the corner. You know, those are the type of things maybe that you could have looked for. I mean, I don't know. Again, you know, there's just not a whole lot of players. And this night, they Mike Conley didn't play against the Magic. Again, Noah didn't play as well. For knee soreness. You know, just not a whole lot of people available. They only played 9 guys. But the guys, you know, again, Tyler Dorsey is a player. I mean, I jokingly said this the other night on Twitter when I was covering the game at home about Tyler Dorsey being better than DeLon Wright. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's a question I'll ask Joe Mullinex this week, because he's a huge DeLon Wright fan. So, like, I don't know. I mean, is he? Is it time to start asking the question? I mean, I was joking and got some clapback for saying it, but like, and it's only like half a joke, like, because I don't really have any preconceived notions about Tyler Dorsey or DeLon Wright. I mean, I know what I think DeLon Wright should be, but it's not like I've watched a ton of DeLon Wright where I know exactly what he's gonna do, and like I have this, you know, where I have this like already this idea of what he is as a player, even though reality is something different. A lot of times you see like you have this idea of a player and what you think he is, but in reality, he's not that, just because you like him so much. And sometimes that can cloud a vision of what somebody should be. Again, I don't know what DeLon Wright's supposed to be. I mean, I know what he's supposed to be, but I don't know what he really is. I mean, we've watched him for a month now consistently. So, you know, I don't know. Tyler Dorsey might be better than DeLon Wright. I have no idea. At this point, he is. At this point, he's playing better than DeLon Wright with the minutes that he's getting. The minutes that he's been getting, he's taking advantage of more so than DeLon Wright has. That's for sure. I know that just by simply watching the game. So it's definitely something to watch. It's definitely something to take note. But again, they dropped 2 losses to the teams that, you know, they could have beaten. And they probably should have beaten. They definitely should have beaten the Magic. Again, the Timberwolves is a bit of a different game, and I'll let that pass. But they're both teams that are right there in the hunt, the same as you for in that lottery. And now the Grizzlies are back in 6th, 29-44. Orlando is in 13th. They have 35 wins. Minnesota has 33 wins. But you know, teams you definitely could have beaten. It's not like those were games that you should have. Lost for like definitely should have lost. So that's disappointing. The Grizzlies take on the Thunder tonight at home. They'll be back in action at 7:00. The only people as far as injuries, the only person that to note for the Grizzlies that is doubtful is Joakim Noah. Mike Conley should pass should become the all-time franchise leader in points tonight. So that'll be cool. You know, again, if you can get down there for that, I think that's definitely something that will probably be fun to watch because he will be the all-time franchise leader in points for quite some time after this, for sure. As far as, you know, the Thunder, they're a really good team. And they got Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams and Paul George. And, you know, it's just, I said this about the Rockets game where it should be a surefire loss and they came out and beat the Rockets and the Rockets were kind of sleepwalking. I think that game was more about the Rockets than it was about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies definitely played well, but the Rockets were also sleepwalking through that game. And mind you, they only barely won this game against the Rockets. So I think they'll probably lose this game tonight. I would be shocked if they won it. But that's something the Grizzlies tend to do is play better against playoff teams. I'd still be surprised that they won this game, just because the Thunder are so good. They have really, really good players and the Grizzlies do not. And it is really what it boils down to at the end of the year. So, if they do, it'll be fun to watch. If they come out and make it a game, and that's all you can really ask for is to make it entertaining. And that's what you have to do. You know, the Thunder are the second best rebounding team in the league, and they go get offensive rebounds, and the Grizzlies are last in rebounding. And that's a bit jaded stat now because Valanciunas has really changed that stat for the Grizzlies. So I think that's a bit of a jaded stat, but it's still something to watch out for is offensive rebounds and second chance points for the Thunder coming out tonight. And then, you know, can you stop Russell Westbrook? Can you slow down Russell Westbrook and can Jonas slow down Steven Adams? Those are the two kind of matchups that, you know, that are going to happen. And if they can do that, I think they have a chance, but that's where it's going to start is slowing those guys down. And then who's going to guard Paul George is obviously a question as well. It'll be most likely be a lot of minutes guarding Paul George for Justin Holiday. So, again, I don't think they're going to win this game, but if they do, fantastic. If they make it an entertaining game, that's all you can ask for. And so hopefully that's what they do tonight at the FedEx Forum. At the tip off is at 7:00. Again, Mike Conley should become the franchise leader in points. Coming up next after the break, we will do the Monday mailbag edition, something we do every single week in this part of the show. And then last segment of the show, again, starting today through probably next week, last segment of the show every day will be interviews, one-on-one interviews from all the Grizz Gaming guys. Today, we're going to start with Universal Phenom, and his interview will be up in the last segment of the show. Stay tuned after the break. Welcome back to the show. Again, on this show, every Monday, we do Monday Mailbag. So make sure you're getting your questions in every week for this segment. You can DM them to me on Twitter. If you're not already following the show on Twitter, please do so at LockedOnGrizz. Also follow me on Twitter at King_Producer. I usually put out a tweet on Sunday afternoon, evening. You can just reply straight to that tweet. You can DM me as on my personal account or on the show account. I'll get either one, or you can email them to me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. I'll get them there as well. First question is from Vince Roscoe. He is at @half_and_half19. Vince, that is that's a mouthful, but I appreciate you asking questions. We get several questions from Vince all the time, so I know he's a long-time listener. So, Vince, appreciate you. Who are some head coach and front office candidates to look for this upcoming season with possible shakeups looming? That's a good question. That is a very good question and probably not something I spent a lot of time thinking about just off the top of my head. I mean, here's the thing. Like, first of all, we don't even know if they're going to make changes. Like, they may surprise us all and just say, hey, we're doubling down on what we've got. And this, I mean, God help us if they do. But I just don't think you can. I mean, I don't think you can continue this franchise with Chris Wallace as the head honcho. Anybody, not any of this front office staff, not this coach staff, you have to make complete changes. I've obviously said that. Vince obviously thinks that as well. But the problem is, we don't know for sure that this is going to happen. They could just surprise us all and say nothing. I mean, I expect it to happen. I think a lot of other people do as well. I expect them to make changes. But again, we just don't know. And that's obviously the problem we've said with this team all along is we just don't know. There's no vision. There's no direction. There's no anything. And I think that's the biggest issue. And I think hopefully they will make those changes. hopefully they will continue to understand that to go in a good direction, especially from the front office perspective, they have to make changes. As far as who they might look at, I personally always like to go someone young in that position. A lot of times you see what happens is they have one coach or one GM and they have that style, and you know, people like when they hire someone different, they usually go opposite of that. They usually go, they might look at someone younger. I mean, Robert Pair is a younger guy. I mean, they'll look at someone younger, someone like Bobby Webster, the Raptors assistant GM, or Mike Zarin. He's a Celtics GM. I know Mike was that guy was going to get the GM job at the 76ers a few years ago. Obviously, Bobby Webster has a lot of good material to work with Masakwai up there. I mean, those are like a few names. They're just the people that I just like know of off the top of my head. I don't know anybody. I'd have to really like look and see and dive in like really, really deep to give you some names that they might go to. Again, those are just a couple guys that are younger, on the younger side. I know Mike's super young. I remember him. He's legal counsel for the Celtics. But he was up for the 76ers GM job before they had the guy who basically started tanking to win, I believe. I'm almost positive. Either way, like that's like those are like the idea of you probably might go younger assistant GM type role. I don't know if they would repurpose. I don't think they either go that route, or you go someone who is extremely experienced and try to get them away from the current team, or someone who is not employed at the moment. Those are maybe the two directions you might go. I would personally like to see a younger type guy, assistant GM, promoted to GM. Again, you always have to look at the fact that who is going to want to come to this dumpster fire of a team? Like who wants to come to a team are you going to have someone who is super experienced, and can you really draw someone away from another team who is good? I mean, you know, you're not going to get a Danny Ainge, obviously, to come to the Grizzlies. It's not. They're not going to leave their what they have built and what is going well for them. And so you also have to look at that side of it, the attraction of the Grizzlies front office. How attractive is it to coaches or to GMs that are already established and experienced? Probably not very attractive. And so that's where you probably have to go the younger assistant GM route, where, yeah, it might not work, and the person you might put in charge may be great as an assistant GM, but they may fail as a GM. But you have to put someone in charge who is the end-all be-all. It is the buck stops with that GM. They make the decisions, period. They are in charge of basketball. Because right now they have this like group think going on, and everybody's like, oh, when they make a bad decision, oh, well, it's a group think, and it's not anybody, you know, it's just like everybody kind of shares the blame. But no, it has to be someone who is in charge of basketball, who when they make a bad decision, they make a bad decision. It happens. Like, they're responsible for it. At the end of the day, they are responsible for this organization and the front office moves that it makes. That is what they need. They need someone that is responsible for good and bad. And so I think you'll probably get someone in the realm of younger assistant GM type role. As far as coaches go, I really like Ryan Saunders, the interim coach for the Timberwolves. I really like him. Personally, I would love to see them go after Ryan. I mean, it's his first gig at Minnesota. He's filling in for Tom Thibodeau. They fired him, but I would like him. I like Jeff Hornacek. I personally have always liked Jeff Hornacek. I would say Jerry Stackhouse, honestly, like would be a good candidate, but I think you have to just kind of get rid of this whole staff. And I think you have to just move on. But I like Jerry Stackhouse. I think he's a good coach. Nate Tibbetts would be another guy that I like personally. He's a Portland assistant. I have some Portland friends. They obviously really like Nate. Those are some names. Again, I haven't really looked into this a lot. Those are just like four names I typed down really, really quickly. I'm probably saying Ryan Saunders because we just played they just played him. That's probably why I'm saying him. I don't know, but that's something that I think deserves probably a deeper dive than what I did right now for you, Vince. But those are just some ideas of what they're probably going to do. Again, same thing with coaches. Are you really going to get a, you know, are you really going to get a Jeff Hornacek? Are you, you know, would you really get like a Steve Clifford or something like that to leave their current gig and come to come to the Grizzlies? You know, probably not. And that's the problem that you also have with it is that, you know, the front office has basically put themselves in a position to where now even hiring somebody, coaches or front office staff, it still takes work just to convince people to come here. Like, that's the other issue. So, again, same thing with coaches that, you know, you're probably going to have to, if you're probably going to have to give an assistant coach the gig, you know, like a Nate Tibbetts, who is assistant, or like Ryan Saunders, who is the interim coach, you know, I mean, someone who's really never had a lot of coaching experience, that's probably what you're going to have to do. And you'd have to just kind of gamble and see what happens. And so that's just the reality of the situation because of the interest level and the, you know, you look at some other teams or maybe like the Suns. Yes, they're bad, but they still have Devin Booker. They still have DeAndre Ayton. They're going to have another top draft pick this year. Like they have a lot of good pieces, you know, like they have like, yes, they're bad, but you can look at that job and go, okay, I could coach here. Like I could see the pieces. I can see the pieces of the puzzle to make us a good team. There's talent there. You know, the Grizzlies, there's not a whole lot here, but outside of Jaren, outside of maybe Jonas Valanciunas next year, and depending on what they do with Mike Conley, like, you know, what they get in the draft, if they have a, you know, where to get Zion, I think that may be changing some things for coaches. So there's still a lot of things that have to happen throughout the summer to really even see what this team's going to be. But right now, as it stacks up, it doesn't look like it's going to be a good spot that you're going to really have someone to, hey, these guys are here, and yes, you can be good. You know, yes, you can be good here, because coaches understand that it's all about the talent you have there too. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if you don't have good players, you're not going to be a good team. So that's really what it boils down to at the end of the day as well. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but that's as best as I can make it at the moment. And we'll probably get back into this once we get into the summer and they actually decide to do something. So our last question is. Let's see. Our last question is on the our message from Michael JT5. Yuta Watanabe or Julian Washburn? That's actually a good question too. Julian and Yuta. Personally, I like Yuta Watanabe. I like his shot. I know he doesn't. Obviously, he hasn't got really any chances to prove it in the actual NBA. But I personally like Yuta. I like the way he shoots the ball. I don't think either one of them are actually actual NBA players. So this conversation may be for nothing. But you know, it's probably a toss up at this point. I mean, I haven't really seen enough of them to play like playing on the regular to like be definitive. One's better than the other. But yeah, I would say Yuta at the moment. But again, you know, they're neither one of them are probably long-term NBA players. So I wouldn't put too much stock in either one of those guys just because they're two-way contract guys for a reason. Now, we might see more of them coming up soon because once the hustle season is over, they can actually play as much as they want with the team, be with the team as many days as they want. So that might change. We might get to see some of those guys more. But for now, I'd say Yuta, but also say it's probably a toss-up, and neither one of them are really probably long-term NBA players, so it probably is a useless exercise at this point. But anyway, appreciate the questions, guys. Again, make sure you're getting those questions in every single Monday. You can tweet them to me at LockedOnGrizz, to the show, at King_producer for my personal account as well, or you can email them to me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Again, coming up next, we have an interview with Universal Phenom Grizz Gaming, and we will be doing these interviews every single day in the last segment for the next week or so, and I hope you guys enjoy them. How was the season last year? Overall,
season last year was it started off a little rough, but you know, we just kept fighting, and we right there at the end for playoffs, we ended 6-8, and we're like one game out.
How do you what do you take from last year that you can kind of move to this year to kind of compete and be better?
I think what we took from last year is just trying to build more of like a family, and you know, just hang out all the time and chill and just have a good time.
How did you get into gaming just in general?
I've been playing video games forever. And it's mainly been like sports video games because like I love sports in real life, mm-hmm. and I play sports in real life. So I also love playing video games for sports. I played 2K forever. I started with like one-on-one, right. quick match, and then it translated into team up and then the pro-am.
Favorite video game of all time?
I don't know. I kind of like NCAA 14 right now. But yeah,
as you sit here and watch
I like the college games.
As you sit here and watch college basketball,
yeah, March Madness.
Yeah. If you're not playing 2K with the guys, is there a game that you're playing?
Honestly, nah. It was like during the off season, I was playing a little bit of NHL, a little bit of Fortnite, but
right.
it really has died down. You know, if I'm not here playing with the guys, I'm at home just chilling. You know, I brought my girlfriend to Memphis this time. Have my dogs here with me, so just kind of family time.
What sports are you playing? You said you mentioned you're playing sports in real life. What sports are you playing?
Yeah, I played football my whole life. Won 2 state championships, and I played wide receiver and safety. A little bit of quarterback when I was younger, but it translated to wide receiver.
Are you out and about playing? Doing anything in Memphis? Sports wise,
we're trying to get basketball games going.
Yeah.
But not right now. We're kind of busy right now. Hopefully, like, when the season goes on, we'll try to pick a day throughout the week and go.
Right. Who's your favorite NBA player of all time?
Steve Nash.
That's just such a Phoenix answer.
I got the throwback black Steve Nash jersey, man.
All right. Who's your current NBA player favorite?
LeBron.
LeBron?
I love LeBron, yeah.
Are you still a Suns
yeah,
fan, even though?
I'm still a Suns at heart, but, you know, NBA is a little different than NFL. I kind of just, like, I have more players in the NBA. Like, you know, I like Damian Lillard or Kawhi Leonard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Suns are my team.
You said you're still a Suns fan at heart. Is there someone else you're rooting for actively? Are you a Lakers fan because LeBron's there?
No, I can't be a Lakers fan because I'll, you know, I want LeBron to win it over the Warriors, but this year
sure.
it's not going to happen. But, no, I can't root for the Lakers being a Suns fan.
Who are you hoping the Suns get in this year's draft?
I like R.J. Barrett.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, hopefully you get us a guard and help Booker.
I think R.J. Barrett would be better alongside Booker than Ja Morant.
I don't know. That's tough.
I mean.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Either way. I think it would probably be ideal for them to be able to have a guard and move Devin back to two.
Yeah,
and
he needs
have
to go back to
guard.
Two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a point where you realized that, I guess, or what was the point you realized that, you know, professional gaming was something you could do?
Well.
You get paid for it, really.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing video games forever for like 10 years, and then I actually had took a year off and stopped because, you know, nothing was really coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the NBA announced this league, and then I got back into it because I knew I was a top player forever, but I never had something to showcase my talents
right.
at, and this is what the league did for me. And I went through the combine like Toxic said, and everyone else did. It just worked out.
I guess, is there a reason you chose the position that you're playing now? I mean, is there, so I guess I've heard some guys say that it was more strategic than anything. You know, sometimes it's strategic to try to get into the drafts, and sometimes it's just what you always do.
Yeah, the first year I played the three because I felt like it was one of the weaker positions going into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I like being able to play the three because I can kind of do everything. I can bring the ball up when needed, but I can also help rebound and do stuff like that. So, being at a position where I can be versatile and have as much impact on the court as I like.
Is there an NBA player that I guess that you try to model your 2K game after? I mean, that you think would.
Yeah, I don't really like the guy that much, but I play like Draymond Green, kinda. You know, being
yeah.
able to do a little bit of everything. I'm a better mm-hmm. scorer than him for sure, but yeah, I would say Draymond.
All right, so you're actively admitting that Draymond is a good player.
Yeah, I'm better than him.
All right, we're going to move on then. I guess what do you think that you're going to be able to bring to the team this year to, you know, that you guys didn't have last year to be better?
You know, I think I bring experience because I was here last year, and I'm an old head. They call me an old head on this team because we have so many 19-year-olds. I'm only 22. I'm still young, but they call me an old head. You know, just kind of when things aren't going our way, just kind of slow it down and pick them back up.
Going through all this stuff, you know, already, like you said, what do you tell those 19-year-olds that are just kind of here that,
I mean,
what to expect?
At the end of the day, it's a video game, you know. Not everything can go your way the way you want it 24/7, so you're going to have bad games, but the thing is to not get down on yourself, you know. Just go to the next play and do the best you can.
Again, thanks really to those Grizz Gaming guys for letting me come by and join them last week. I really appreciate it. It's really, really cool to just see how all that works. It's really fun to see that these guys can literally are making a living now playing video games, which is just so different than what I've ever imagined. But it's very cool. So we'll continue to do that, those pieces throughout the week. And then on into the future as they get their season going. I believe they start April the 3rd is their first game, and they're scrimmaging right now. But as those guys go through the summer, we'll check back in with them and do more interviews and talk to those guys more often and kind of give you guys updates on what's happening over there. But if you're not already subscribed in iTunes, or if you're not already subscribed period to this podcast, please do so. You don't miss a show every single day. If you have a moment, please go to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. It really helps our rankings over there. If you're not an Apple person, we are on every podcast platform imaginable, Spotify, Stitcher, anything you can think of. We're on it. So make sure you're subscribed and make sure you don't miss those episodes every single day. If you want to be a feature sponsor on the show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. A lot of great rates. We can talk about it, work something out. We are growing every single week. If you're still not sure where to go, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.